Continuing our reading of the Lord's Word together, Joshua chapter 23, as I finish setting this up. As I do so, just hello to all of you on Zoom as well. Love you guys. Wonderful morning to spend together in the Lord's Word. Thank you all for being here. So please stand as we read the Word of God together, Joshua chapter 23. Now it came about after many days, when the Lord had given rest to Israel from all their enemies on every side, and Joshua was old, advanced in years, that Joshua called for all Israel, for their elders and their heads, and their judges and their officers, and said to them, I am old, advanced in years, and you have seen all that the Lord your God has done to all these nations because of you. For the Lord your God is he who has been fighting for you. See, I have apportioned to you these nations which remain as an inheritance for your tribe, with all the nations which I have cut off from the Jordan even to the great sea toward the setting of the sun. And the Lord your God, he shall thrust them out from before you and drive them from before you. And you shall possess their land, just as the Lord your God promised you. Be very firm then to keep and do all that is written in the book of the law of Moses, so that you may not turn aside from it to the right hand or to the left, in order that you may not associate with these nations. These which remain among you, or mention the name of their gods, or make anyone swear by them, or serve them, or bow down to them. But you are to cling to the Lord your God, as you have done to this day. For the Lord has driven out great and strong nations from before you. And as for you, no man has stood before you to this day. One of your men puts to flight 1,000, for the Lord your God is he who fights for you, just as he promised you. So take diligent heed to yourselves to love the Lord your God. For if you ever go back and cling to the rest of these nations, these which remain among you, and intermarry with them, so that you associate with them and they with you, know with certainty that the Lord your God will not continue to drive these nations out from before you. But they shall be a snare and a trap to you, and a whip on your side, and thorns in your eyes, until you perish from off this good land which the Lord your God has given you. Now behold, today I am going the way of all the earth, and you know in all your hearts and in all your souls that not one word of all the good words which the Lord your God spoke concerning you has failed. All have been fulfilled for you. Not one of them has failed. And it shall come about that just as all the good words which the Lord your God spoke to you have come upon you, so the Lord will bring upon you all the threats, and so he has destroyed you from off this good land which the Lord your God has given you. When you transgress the covenant of the Lord your God, which he commanded you, and go and serve other gods, and bow down to them, then the anger of the Lord will burn against you, and you shall perish quickly from off the good land which he has given you. Thus reads the word of the Lord. You may be seated. Joshua 23:14. Now behold, today I am going the way of all the earth, and you know in all your hearts and in all your souls that not one word of all the good words which the Lord your God spoke concerning you has failed. All have been fulfilled for you. Not one of them has failed. Here we have the end of Joshua's life encapsulated in these admonitions to the people to stay true to the Lord. This was the man whom we saw as the faithful spy who, along with Caleb, went into the promised land and brought back to that first generation the good report of the land flowing with milk and honey. These were the only two who urged that generation to go into the land with all confidence in the Lord, to go before them and to fight their battles for them. Later, when that faithless first generation turned their backs on God and on his promises of victory and peace and fruitfulness, it was only Joshua and Caleb, as the remnant of that first generation, who were permitted to enter and to see the fruits of God's victorious conquest of his land, his promise to them, coming to pass. Here, as throughout his life, Joshua again reminded the children of Israel to hold true to the Lord, who had been faithful in all his dealings with them. This message of the faithfulness, the supreme and manifold and omnipotent and eternal faithfulness of God to carry out all that he speaks in his word, has been before us over and over again. But we should never tire of dwelling on it and holding it firmly as the course of our walk before him. When the Lord states something one time, it is important and it needs to be given all credence. When he declares it a second time, we should really be listening and thinking about it and giving it even greater significance for our understanding. When he proclaims it 4, 3, and 4, and 5 or more times, it should knock us to the ground with the emphasis of something that we must hold on to with all our being. We must never let anything dissuade or distract our hearts from thinking about it and giving it greater significance in our understanding. Our minds and souls and beings need to know this proclaimed reality. Accordingly, even though we just recently spent some time with this glorious truth, we dare not just read it again in a cursory fashion as being merely repetitious, as not worth the time to ponder over and over and over again. The faithfulness of God is something that must be a bedrock foundation for us, because of the fact that if God is not faithful to his word, then we could argue away anything that has been spoken by him. However, as God is so abundantly true and faithful to carry out to the nth degree everything that he speaks forth, there is no way to doubt him. There is no plausible way to argue against what is spoken by him. What he proclaims will come to pass. It is absolute. It is sure. It is to be cemented into the core of our beings. God's faithfulness stands forever. Therefore, all his promises, including our eternal salvation in Jesus Christ, are absolute and non-negotiable. They are completely carried out by the omnipotent power of God. They are hearts in which to delight and to know that God will do all that he says he will do. Accordingly, we relish the opportunity to spend the time allotted by rejoicing in the scriptures that compound this wondrous reality within our beings to the praise of God's glory. We will begin by turning back to the promise made to Jacob that is recounted in Genesis 28:13-15. It is here that God personally reaffirmed the overriding promise that he made to Jacob's grandfather, Abraham. Genesis 28:13-15. And behold, the Lord stood above it and said, I am the Lord, the God of your father Abraham and the God of Isaac. The land on which you lie, I will give it to you and to your descendants. Your descendants shall also be like the dust of the earth, and you shall spread out to the west and to the east and to the north and to the south. And in you and in your descendants shall all the families of the earth be blessed. And behold, I am with you and will keep you wherever you go and will bring you back to this land. For I will not leave you until I have done what I have promised you. What a tremendous reaffirmation of that which the Lord promised to Abraham and his descendants. In particular, listen to and take to heart the last statement which is still in effect in our lives today from the omnipotent, omnipresent, omniscient Lord God, our Creator and our Savior. And behold, I am with you and will keep you wherever you go and will bring you back to this land. For I will not leave you until I have done what I have promised you. That is an assurance to which we can cling when everything else seems to be spinning so rapidly out of control in our lives, in our society, in our world. God is with us and will never leave us because his promises are eternally flowing forth unto us in Jesus Christ. They are fully and they are wondrously fulfilled in him. Next, we have the word of the Lord declared to the children of Israel, the physical recipients of being removed from the slavery to Egypt, and the presentation of their actual entrance into the promised land. This was not a theoretical situation for these people. They were there standing at the banks of the river that would bring them into the actual inheritance that was given to Abraham and Isaac and Jacob. We find the especial promise of God to them in the terms of how he would be the means of clearing out those nations who were there. This is expressed in Exodus 23:25-30. Exodus 23:25-30. But you shall serve the Lord your God, and he will bless your bread and your water, and I will remove sickness from your midst. There shall be no one miscarrying or barren in your land. I will fulfill the number of your days. I will send my terror ahead of you and throw into confusion all the people among whom you come. And I will make all your enemies turn their backs to you. And I will send hornets ahead of you that they may drive out the Hivites and the Canaanites and the Hittites before you. I will not drive them out before you in a single year, that the land may not become desolate and the beasts of the field become too numerous for you. I will drive them out before you little by little until you become fruitful and take possession of the land. Next, please turn to Leviticus 26, 3 through 13. Here are given the assurances to the nation of what blessings will be theirs in the promised land as long as they honor the Lord God and walk according to his precepts. If they would but keep themselves from becoming entangled in all the filth and mire of those surrounding nations and remain true to God, they would abundantly know his copious faithfulness. Leviticus 26, 3 through 13. If you walk in my statutes and keep my commandments so as to carry them out, then I shall give you rains in their season so that the land will yield its produce and the trees of the field will bear their fruit. Indeed, your threshing will last for you until grape gathering, and grape gathering will last until sowing time. You will thus eat your food to the full and live securely in your land. I shall also grant peace in the land so that you may lie down with no one making you tremble. I shall also eliminate harmful beasts from the land, and no sword will pass through your land. But you will chase your enemies, and they will fall before you by the sword. 5 of you will chase 100, and 100 of you will chase 10,000, and your enemies will fall before you by the sword. So I will turn toward you and make you fruitful and multiply you, and I will confirm my covenant with you. And you will eat the old supply and clear out the old because of the new. Moreover, I will make my dwelling among you, and my soul will not reject you. I will also walk among you and be your God, and you shall be my people. I am the Lord your God who brought you out of the land of Egypt so that you should not be their slaves. And I broke the bars of your yoke and made you walk erect. Later, in Numbers 23, 19 through 21, we read again the words of that pagan prophet Balaam as he was supposed to curse the children of Israel. As much as it would have profited him to do so, he could not. God would not permit it. Balaam was face to face with the truth that he herein expresses. He was even shown the reality that there was the King of Kings who would rise forth from this nation of Israel. Numbers 23, 19 through 21. God is not a man that he should lie, nor a son of man that he should repent. Has he said, and will he not do it? Or has he spoken, and will he not make it good? Behold, I have received a command to bless. When he has blessed, then I cannot revoke it. He has not observed misfortune in Jacob, nor has he seen trouble in Israel. The Lord his God is with him, and the shout of a king is among them. Now please turn to Deuteronomy 28, 1 through 14. In this passage, we again have the encouragement to stay true to the Lord. It is the same encouragement that we have before us in this morning's reading. This is again that which should cause us to take very precise and diligent notice to that which the Lord is telling us. There can be no wavering, no compromise, no turning away from serving him and him alone. As we so hold to him, no matter what, all these blessings, and much, much more will be the promise of our walk with God on this earth. Deuteronomy 28, 1 through 14. Now it shall be, if you will diligently obey the Lord your God, being careful to do all his commandments which I command you today, the Lord your God will set you high above all the nations of the earth, and all these blessings shall come upon you and overtake you if you will obey the Lord your God. Blessed shall you be in the city, and blessed shall you be in the country. Blessed shall be the offspring of your body, and the produce of your ground, and the offspring of your beast, the increase of your herd, and the young of your flock. Blessed shall be your basket and your kneading bowl. Blessed shall you be when you come in, and blessed shall you be when you go out. The Lord will cause your enemies who rise up against you to be defeated before you. They shall come out against you one way, and shall flee before you seven ways. The Lord will command the blessing upon you in your barns, and in all that you put your hand to, and he will bless you in the land which the Lord your God gives you. The Lord will establish you as a holy people to himself, as he swore to you, if you will keep the commandments of the Lord your God and walk in his ways. So all the peoples of the earth shall see that you are called by the name of the Lord, and they shall be afraid of you. And the Lord will make you abound in prosperity, in the offspring of your body, and in the offspring of your beast, and in the produce of your ground, in the land which the Lord swore to your fathers to give you. The Lord will open for you his good storehouse, the heavens, to give rain to your land in its season, and to bless all the work of your hand. You shall lend to many nations, but you shall not borrow. And the Lord shall make you the head and not the tail, and you only shall be above, and you shall not be underneath, if you will listen to the commandments of the Lord your God, which I charge you today, to observe them carefully, and do not turn aside from any of the words which I command you today, to the right or to the left, to go after other gods to serve them. Several weeks ago, we read the next passage that is found in Joshua 21, 43 through 45. That was the most recent time that we found ourselves encouraged with the faithfulness of the Lord to carry out all that he says he will do. Joshua 21, 43 through 45. So the Lord gave Israel all the land which he had sworn to give to their fathers, and they possessed it and lived in it. And the Lord gave them rest on every side, according to all that he had sworn to their fathers. And no one of all their enemies stood before them. The Lord gave all their enemies into their hand. Not one of the good promises which the Lord had made to the house of Israel failed. All came to pass. I so love this reality, as you have just affirmed, this proclamation, this wondrous declaration of the Lord's faithfulness to himself in being absolutely true to his people. Not one of the good promises which the Lord had made to the house of Israel failed. All came to pass. This is something that we can actually hold true in our every thought as our walk on this earth begins, continues, and eventually draws to an end. With all the lies and the deceit that this age puts forth as so-called truth, we are so fully blessed to know him who is the true and the faithful one. No matter what schemes man makes with his so slippery and sliding scale of right and wrong, we have the bedrock stand upon the Word of God to guide us always aright. This is where we find Joshua as this morning's consideration comes to a close. I had fully intended to complete this dwelling on the Lord's faithfulness this week, but found that there was just too many awesome promises of the Lord and His Word to simply leave it here. We will spend another week in this gloriousness of the Lord to us, His people. As we do so, I know that there are many in this room who can relate to the fact that this was Joshua at the end of his days. He knew his time on earth was coming to an end. He recognized that his part in the plan and the purpose of God had been fulfilled. As the leader of this nation, as the great general in the army of the Lord who went into the land and conquered it from one victory to another, he was fully invested in every manner of obedience to the Lord. He could recount all the glorious ways in which God had set forth on this fulfillment of his promise to the patriarchs. This is something that may well fill the thoughts and memories of so many in this room. We can look back to how God manifestly made every one of his promises to us true and manifest in his absolute faithfulness. He has never failed one of us in all that he has done, is doing, and continues to do. Everything in our lives has proven that God is faithful and that he will do all that he says he will do. So be it. Now behold, today I am going the way of all the earth, and you know in all your hearts and in all your souls that not one word of all the good words which the Lord your God spoke concerning you has failed. All have been fulfilled for you. Not one of them has failed. Amen. And the Lord blesses all, as he always does.